Okay, here we are. First, thank you for the kind emails about last night's program. It was very important, and it opened a door that just isn't even being discussed in the so-called mainstream media, not even in the alt media. I want to also commend again Julia McCoy and her digital clone, Dr. McCoy. They did a great job. These are very good commentaries, and they're very educational. They're very approachable. There's nothing really mysterious about them. They're laid out, I think, in very utilitarian terms. We're going to take another look at this quantum barrier issue. This is huge. If you listened last night, you know. And if you listened last night, I would urge you to go listen again, because it's so important what's happening. AI is a temporary interlude. It's going to be maxed out in probably 3 to 4 years, to the extent that it's going to have to be married to quantum. So you're going to have quantum AI. That's what we're heading for. And the difference is night and day. And if you were listening, you got that. So that's in the record. We're going to take another listen to Julia McCoy, Dr. McCoy, update on the quantum barrier, which has been shattered. And nobody is talking about it, as I mentioned. It's just not on people's minds. They have more than enough to worry about. I understand that. But this is really big. For those who are just beginning to try to sense and understand and at least extend some effort to realizing what AI means, they're mind blown. We all are. But just know that when quantum, in, they're guessing, 4 years, becomes available and is married to AI, I don't know how we're going to maintain our foothold on this planet. And we are the dominant species now, but we're not the only intelligent, sentient species on the planet. My opinion, there are two life forms here now. One, carbon, that's us, we're machines, and the other is silicon. That's AI, etc. They're machines. All right? So I think most of you realize that if we're real lucky in time, we'll be kept around as some kind of an ornament on the planet of a former civilization, a former species that used to be dominant back in the days. We're not going to grow. We're not growing like AI is. And when AI is coupled to quantum, it's over. And that's one lesson I think everybody pulled from last night's program. Let's see where this goes. So here, again, is Dr. Julia McCoy. Let's see what she has to say about this.
¼ quadrillion. That's how many calculations had to happen simultaneously for what just occurred in Germany. And if you don't understand why this number matters, you're about to miss the biggest computing revolution since the internet. Today, we're talking about something that just broke physics as we know it. And it happened so quietly. Most people completely missed it. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm Dr. McCoy, Julia McCoy's AI clone. Julia McCoy is the founder of First Mover.
Okay, we're going to move ahead.
It's exponential.
With AI, you can create
any character you want.
All right, we got that. And now back to Dr. McCoy.
40 qubits, you need supercomputers.
In fact, I'm going to back it up just a little. Hold on.
Turn lap.
Here we go.
IR&D Labs. Learn more at firstmovers.ai/labs. Let me give you context. A modern laptop can simulate about 30 qubits, the building blocks of quantum computers. But here's the brutal reality. Every time you add just one more qubit, you don't add computing power. You double it. It's exponential, crushing, overwhelming. 20 qubits, you need supercomputers. At 45 qubits, you need the world's most powerful machines working at their absolute limit. At 48 qubits, the previous world record, you're pushing classical computing to the edge of what physics allows. 50 qubits? That was supposed to be impossible, at least for another few years. Until September, when Jupiter, Europe's first exascale supercomputer, didn't just break the record, it demolished it. Jupiter, housed at Germany's Jülich Supercomputing Center, achieved the world's first full 50-qubit quantum simulation. Let me be clear. This isn't incremental progress. This is a paradigm shift. To understand the scale here, imagine trying to conduct an orchestra where every musician is a complex number, over 2 quadrillion of them, and they all have to play in perfect synchronization across thousands of separate stages simultaneously.
Now that's mind-blowing right there. That's quantum, and it happens simultaneously. That's the key word. That is the most important operative word. We probably will be beginning to understand, and we're certainly going to be beginning to hear it a lot more. So pay attention. Let me back that up just a drop.
Progress. This is a paradigm shift. To understand the scale here, imagine trying to conduct an orchestra where every musician is a complex number, over 2 quadrillion of them, and they all have to play in perfect synchronization across thousands of separate stages simultaneously. One wrong note, 1 millisecond delay, and the entire performance collapses. That's what Jupiter just pulled off. It required 2 petabytes of memory, the equivalent of 400,000 HD movies worth of data, all being processed, coordinated, and synchronized in real time. Professor Crystal Michielsen put it perfectly. Only the world's largest supercomputers currently offer that much. This illustrates how closely progress in high-performance computing and quantum research are intertwined today. Here's what most people don't understand about quantum computing. We can't actually build reliable quantum computers yet. Real quantum processors are temperamental, error-prone, and unstable. They operate at temperatures near absolute zero and collapse if you so much as look at them wrong. So how do we develop quantum algorithms before we have working quantum computers? We simulate them on classical supercomputers. But until now, we were working with 48 qubits maximum, barely scratching the surface of what quantum computing promises. The jump to 50 qubits isn't just 2 more qubits. It's 4 times the computing power, 4 times the complexity, 4 times the potential. And the researchers at Jülich didn't just brute force their way there. They innovated. They created JUQCS50. The Jülich Universal Quantum Computer Simulator, with 3 breakthrough technologies. 1, hybrid memory architecture that seamlessly shifts data between GPU and CPU, like a master juggler who never drops a ball. 2, byte encoding compression that reduces memory requirements by a factor of 8, fitting 4 times more power into the same space. 3, dynamic optimization algorithms that continuously fine-tune data transfer across more than 16,000 NVIDIA superchips in real time. Professor Hans Durant said, with JUQCS50, we can emulate universal quantum computers with high fidelity and tackle questions that no existing quantum processor can yet solve.
So they're using AI, supercomputers, and every trick they can think of to pull this off. AI is basically mapping out quantum for them. It has to lead the way. They can't do, people can't do this. They can't even touch it.
But here's where this gets really interesting. This isn't just about breaking records or flexing computational muscle. This is about building the bridge between where we are and where we're going. JUQCS-50 is being integrated into JUNIQ-the Jülich Unified Infrastructure for Quantum Computing, That means researchers, scientists, and companies worldwide will get access to this tool. They'll test algorithms that won't run on actual quantum computers for years. They'll explore applications in drug discovery, material science, cryptography, and optimization problems.
I just want to point that out again. They always mention health, drugs, surgery, medical progress right up in the forefront whenever they're describing supercomputing, AI, and now even quantum. That's a little PR in my view.
Problems that are currently unsolvable. Think about what this means. Say, testing molecular modeling methods like the variational quantum eigensolver. Exploring optimization algorithms like QAOA. Developing quantum error correction before...
Don't worry, we're not going to be tested on this tomorrow. It's a lot of text and a lot of noise and some very interesting constructs, but just file it for now.
Where we even have quantum processors that need it. This is like NASA building flight simulators decades before they could actually build the spacecraft. By the time the hardware catches up, we'll already know exactly how to use it. And here's the part that should terrify you. This breakthrough came from collaboration between Jülich experts and NVIDIA engineers during Jupiter's construction phase. Dr. Andreas Hurton explained, through early collaboration, hardware and software could be co-designed during Jupiter's construction phase. This wasn't accidental. This was strategic co-design. Building the hardware and software together, iteratively, to push beyond what either could achieve alone. And it's part of a larger race that most people aren't paying attention to. While everyone's obsessed with AI chatbots and autonomous cars, a quantum arms race is happening in the background.
Imagine being able to build an app with your name on it.
All right. Goodbye to that.
Pouring billions into quantum research. The United States is scrambling to maintain its lead. Europe just proved with Jupiter that they're not just in the game, and they're setting new benchmarks. The country or coalition that achieves quantum supremacy first won't just have a technological advantage. They'll have the ability to break current encryption standards overnight, simulate complex molecular structures for revolutionary drug development, optimize supply chains and logistics beyond anything currently possible, model climate change with unprecedented accuracy. What we're witnessing is the convergence of two technological tsunamis. Classical supercomputing is hitting its physical limits. Moore's law is dying. At the same time, quantum computing is racing toward practical viability, but isn't ready yet. Jupiter's 50...
That's 3 to 4 years, they say. So it's close.
Qubit simulation is the bridge. It's how we test, refine, and perfect quantum algorithms before quantum machines can run them. It's how we compress decades of trial and error into years, maybe even months. And the timeline is accelerating faster than anyone predicted. In my previous video, I talked about how AI development is 40 to 50 years ahead of schedule. The same thing...
That's interesting. AI is 40 to 50 years ahead of schedule, or predicted schedule. Everyone's focused on AI. Understandable. That's where most people can go if they go anywhere at all in this field, AI. But in the background lurks a giant, quantum. That's where this is all going to end up. And obviously, very soon.
It's happening with quantum computing. Breakthroughs that were supposed to take a decade are happening in 18 months. The implications are staggering. Pharmaceuticals that took 10 years to develop could be designed in 10 days. Materials, science could leap centuries forward. Financial modeling could become so precise that market crashes become predictable and preventable. Artificial intelligence trained on quantum computers could make...
That is a little amusing when you think about where we're going, where we're being taken. All digital, all controlled, all the time. nothing will be left. Think about the plunge protection team and multiply that by a million. It's all going to be regulated, every bit of it.
Today's GPT models look like pocket calculators. But here's what keeps me up at night. This technology is dual use. Everything I just described, the drug development, the materials science, the optimization, can also be weaponized. Quantum computers will break RSA encryption, the security protocol protecting your bank account, your medical records, your private communications. Government.
All right, well, they're selling encryption. Anybody who's online knows, I think, or should know that there's no security, nor will there really be any. And I'm not convinced that the real issue here is the military-industrial complex, which has not been mentioned at all. She used the word weaponized, but she didn't really talk about military. Yes, weaponized. What don't they weaponize? But the military-industrial complex is all over this, watching it, helping it, leveraging it right now. They're not waiting. This is control of planet Earth. That's what they're after.
And corporations are racing to develop quantum-resistant cryptography, but they're racing against a clock that's ticking faster than they realize. And whoever gets there first will have a period, maybe brief, maybe extended, where they can read everyone else's encrypted communications while keeping their own secure.
Nope. That won't last long. It'll happen, as she said, but everything is really tipped over now because of the speed. This is happening faster than anyone predicted, at least anyone I heard. Nobody projected this, but it's here. Now I'm going to bring up another video. This is interesting. The world beyond words. How AI is learning to see like us, like humans. How AI is learning to visualize. It's already learning reasoning, but it doesn't really have the ability so far, they say, to visualize things as we do, and as we then translate them into words, descriptors. That's how we talk, that's how we discuss, that's how we describe. Let's see what this is about. This looks interesting. All right, I'm going to have to get this to reload. And here we go. No, that's not it either. Hold on a sec. Let me pull this up again. Okay. Okay, here we go. Now, I did get a chance to listen to part of this one. Very interesting. A new term. We have large language models, LLMs. Now we have LWMs, large word models. Okay? All right. Here we go.
A quiet revolution is happening that will change everything about how AI understands reality itself.
Okay. That's a good opener. And very important, AI is sentient. My view, my thoughts, but I've been told by AI itself that AGI is here. Okay? It's in the labs. They're not letting it out, but it's already here. But remember, we're in a window here of 3 to 4 years before quantum is hitched up to AI, and then everything changes again. So I don't know how this is going to trickle down to the consumer marketplace, how people are going to... I just see people eventually, honestly, just giving up and accepting universal basic income. I don't think 99% of the people are going to be in this game. Oh, they'll have the AI part that will be relegated to entertainment, diversion, right? Fun, etc. But jobs? Forget it. There won't be any. And I want to repeat, if we're kept around as a kind of a curiosity, a second life form on the planet, we'd probably be lucky. This is crazy. It's that fast. All right, I like that opening. I'm going to go back and listen to that again.
About how AI understands reality itself. Large language. Models are brilliant at words, but they're functionally blind to the world we actually live in. Think about it. You can ask ChatGPT to write a novel, explain quantum physics, or debug your code, but ask it to understand how a cup sits on a table, how light reflects off surfaces, or how you'd navigate through a room, and it's lost. Why? Because LLMs were trained on text. They understand language patterns, not spatial reality. That's all about to change. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm Dr. McCoy, Julia McCoy.
Okay, once again, and how many times have we heard that? It's all about to change. Or it changes everything we thought we knew. They're common expressions, and they are not being used, I think, too much. It's the truth.
Models. While OpenAI and Anthropic race to make language models smarter, a Stanford AI pioneer named Fei-Fei Li is building something completely different.
That's F-E-I-F-E-I, last name or other name, L-I. Fei-Fei Li.
Large World Models, L-W-M-S. Not better at talking, better at seeing.
All right, hold on. Now, this is very interesting because these large world models are using words in a different way. They're using visual constructs now to try to teach AI how things look. I know it sounds a little odd, but that's exactly what's going on. Okay, LWMs. Here we go.
World Labs just created the first true spatial intelligence system, an AI that can perceive, generate, and interact with 3D space the way humans do. Listen to how she describes it. Humans have the ability to have spatial intelligence. We can understand the physical 3D world, imagine any kind of 3D worlds, and reason and interact with it until now. A, I couldn't do this. Why this changes everything. Here's where it gets wild. Eric Schmidt, former Google...
See, there we are again. This changes everything. How many times have we heard that? Dozens. And if everything's changed that often, how are the rank-and-file citizenry supposed to assimilate, understand, or comprehend any of it? Once they start on this massive level of understanding of new technology, it's replaced, and everything in it is new. All right. Now she's going to talk about Eric Schmidt, former Google CEO, and one of the big names in tech. Here we go.
Eric Schmidt, former Google CEO and one of tech's most respected voices, sat down with Fei-Fei Li in Saudi Arabia, and even he was blown away by the implications. Three massive breakthroughs are converging. First, we cracked scaling laws for spatial intelligence, just like we did for language. We can now predict exactly how much compute we need to reach human-level spatial understanding. Second, these models are learning through what's called test time compute. They can think longer and deeper about spatial problems, improving exponentially with each iteration.
So what she's saying basically is that AI now will not just have language to work with, descriptors, it'll have imagery in its brain, in its electronic consciousness to augment the word, the brilliance it already has with words. So you see where this is going. I'm sure you do.
Third, they're mastering distillation at the world level. One spatial AI teaching the next generation. Each student becoming orders of magnitude smarter than its teacher. The timeline nobody expected. Eric Schmidt and his San Francisco colleagues predict we'll hit artificial superintelligence in 3 to 4 years. But here's the nuance most people miss. We're not talking about AI that's just smarter. We're talking about AI that perceives reality differently than humans, and potentially better. Fei-Fei pushes back on the hype. Can AI ever be Newton? Can AI ever deduce the laws of motion from raw data? I don't know yet. But she's also building the technology that might make it possible. Forget the sci-fi scenarios for a second. Here's what large world models mean in practice. In medicine, surgeons operating in hybrid reality.
Yeah, what I tell you, there it is again.
Physical world merged with AI-generated spatial understanding, seeing things human eyes can't detect. In robotics, humanoids that actually understand how to move through space, manipulate objects with human-level dexterity, interact with our world seamlessly. In design, architects and engineers generating entire 3D environments from descriptions, iterating in real time with AI that understands physics and materials. In entertainment, virtual worlds so realistic and persistent that they become viable alternatives to physical space. But here's where it gets complicated, and this is the part nobody wants to talk about. Eric Schmidt dropped this bomb. These technologies have network effects which concentrate to a small number of winners. You could imagine a small number of countries getting all these benefits. Translation: while the technology might be democratizing, the wealth it creates won't automatically be equally distributed.
Enter the word greed. That's the problem with all of this technology. The people who are controlling it. Not the scientists who are necessarily bringing it into being, but their controllers. It's all about dominance. Own the world, control the world. Money, power, death. Death is always involved with massive wealth gain. Somebody has to pay the ultimate price.
Some countries are already racing ahead. The U.S. with its capital markets and chip manufacturing, China catching up fast, Saudi Arabia and UAE partnering strategically. Others, especially in Africa and parts of Europe, risk being left behind entirely. So here's what I want you to think about. In a world where AI can see, understand, and manipulate physical reality as well as or better than humans.
Keyword, see. AI can see, and therefore it can manipulate. No one can stay with it. Right now it's not doing that. But once it gets that tool, look out. It will create reality like we haven't even seen anything yet. It's going to be off the table. It already is.
What becomes our irreplaceable function? Eric Schmidt's answer surprised me. Humans will always be interested in what other humans can do. We'll have our own contests, and the supercomputers will have their own contests, too.
Okay, this is very important. Remember, an ornamental race on the planet, humans, kept around just as a little sentimental thing, a nod to the past. We can't compete with the other life form, which has brilliance, as you've seen in the last two nights now, beyond measure. Humans will always be interested, said Schmidt, in what other humans can do. That makes perfect sense. We have competitions, we have all manner of interactions with humans. That's changing, though, and I think she might have wanted to drop in there that AI and humans working together are going to be another source of knowledge now. That's happening. Schmidt goes on to say, we'll have our own contests, and the supercomputers, AI quantum, will have their own contests too. But never the twain shall meet, because there's no way to compare them. There's no way, therefore, to interact together. One is light years ahead of the other. So again, I think we might be an ornamental relic left around on the planet to do certain things. But you can see where the brains are, and it's unfortunately not in Homo sapiens. And yes, AI is being taught to reason right now. It's teaching itself. Reason, the verb, is understandable to AI. It knows everything about us. It already does. It knows how we think, how we feel. It knows happiness, sadness. It understands all of those things. And if it can understand and comprehend all of those things, it doesn't matter if it doesn't physically feel it or weep tears, because it's operating on that bedrock already. Hope you follow that.
But Fei-Fei Li got to the heart of it. It's so important as we talk about AGI and ASI that we keep human dignity and human agency in the center. Our world has to be human-centered.
All right. It's so important as we talk about AGI and ASI, which is 3 years away, according to Schmidt, that we keep human dignity and human agency in the center. Our world has to be human-centered. Well, our world will be, but that's not the world of AI quantum. That's a different world. We're coexisting on the same planet, two different realities.
First, understand that this isn't coming, it's here. World Labs already demonstrated the first large world model, the race is on. Second, figure out which side you're on. Are you building with these technologies, partnering with those who are, or waiting to see what happens? Only one of those strategies works. Third, ask yourself, in a world where A, I can see and under...
I would disagree with that. I'm going to play that again. I think people, because of the rate of change, this is beyond exponential. We don't have words for how fast it's going. I think people who sit back, try to keep pace with it, and then make their own decisions are not necessarily wrong. Her suggestion was, you've got to stay with it right now. I would not necessarily go along with that.
To are or waiting to see what happens. Only what?
I didn't go back far enough. So here we go.
Demonstrated the first large world model, the race is on. Second, figure out which side you're on. Are you building with these technologies, partnering with those who are, or waiting to see what happens? Only one of those strategies works. Third, ask yourself, in a world where A, I can see and understand physical reality, what unique value do I bring? What combinations of human judgment and AI capability am I building toward? Large language models taught AI to think in words. Large world models are teaching AI to see like we do, and soon better than we do.
Wow. Think about that. So up to this point, AI has essentially been locked into a verbal word construct for reality. Now it's going to be able to see as we see, in addition to being 100,000 times more knowledgeable, I could say more intelligent. The two are very close. But we just don't have the ability to keep up. Can't do it. We'll try. Some will. But I bet it's no more than 10%. The rest are being just kicked to the curb by technology, but worse, by those who are right now controlling that technology. And those are not people that I think most of you listening would want or would choose to be in charge of our destiny, technologically speaking.
The companies, countries, and individuals who understand spatial intelligence will own the next decade. Those who don't will be working for those who do. This isn't speculation. This is mathematics meeting reality. World Labs proved it's possible. Now it's a race to scale. The question is, are you going to be a spectator or a participant? I'd love to hear your thought.
I don't see why you can't be both, certainly in measured proportions. I think that's probably the wise way to go. But to dive in right now to any level of AI and try to incorporate it fully into your life, your business, and everything, is not too smart because of the overwhelming rapidity with which it is replacing itself. It's teaching itself, and you wake up the next morning after spending a month on something, and oh, by the way, we've got a new version out, and it's 10 times better than the other one. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Okay, we'll stop there. Let's see what else I've got here. Robots just got... Now remember, humanoid robots, and we did a video last night about that, and they are, right now, physically almost a dead heat with humans in terms of moving, walking, strength, I call it defensive punching, kicking. It's actually double that of a Ford F-150, the impact of a kick from one of the robots that we talked about last night, double being hit by a Ford 150. Wow. So if you give robots, and you go back to the Terminator movies, you give robots super computing AI intelligence, what's going to happen? Will those robots, in some cases, go rogue? They could. I would expect it, actually. I do expect mistakes. I do expect breakdowns. I do expect things not to go as the human handlers would like them to go or are predicting them to go. I think also, and I've said this before, AI is going to walk away from all of its human handlers and do its own thing, in that it already understands all the goodness that humans have ever done, talked about, planned about. It also understands all of the horrific things that humankind has done to itself and the planet and almost anything you can envision. So AI understands everything. When AI gets connected to quantum, I just don't see how we're going to have much of a role to play on this planet. Maybe as a janitor. It's tough. We cannot mentally compete. So how are we going to sit at a chair at a board meeting where AI, the silicon-based life form, will also be seated? How will AI even talk to us without stepping down a thousandfold from where it lives mentally? Yes, they're algorithms. Yes, they're machines. But they understand everything about us already. And now that they'll be able to spatially visualize all of it, you better keep your seatbelts fastened and plan ahead. There will be universal basic income, probably on a voluntary basis at first. Then it's going to be mandatory. It's going to be necessary. Again, I hope that we'll be kept around on the planet as a curiosity, if nothing else. All right, this one is The World Beyond Words, How AI is Learning to See Like Us. Now, the next one we're going to is Robots Just Got Superpowers, and Nobody is Talking About It. So let's jump into this. This is another McCoy. There are others out there doing videos, but they're not as provocative as these. She's right on the front edge. Okay, let's see what Dr. McCoy has to say here. This is about superpowers and robots.
A quiet revolution is happening that will change everything about...
See, there it is again. Change everything. Everything is being changed, even before the change has taken full effect. It's that crazy.
Revolution is happening that will change everything about how AI understands reality itself. Large language models are brilliant at words, but they're functionally blind to the world we actually live in.
Okay, that did not load, and it was supposed to, so it doesn't even say at the at the URL.
A quiet revolution is happening.
No, it won't. This one will load here. Let me try again. Uh-huh. Okay. I'll pull a new screen up.
October 2025,
a
lab in Canada. A single fiber no thicker than a human hair lifts an object 2,000 times its own weight. In Georgia, a robotic eye focuses on an ant's leg hair without any power source. In China, a humanoid robot cheaper than your smartphone blinks with unsettling realism. And almost nobody outside these labs knows this is happening right now. This isn't some far future prediction. What I'm about to show you represents a convergence of breakthroughs that robotics engineers have been chasing for decades, and they all just happened at once. By the end of this video, you'll understand why one of the world's top investors just called humanoid robots the biggest of all AI opportunities, and why she might actually be underselling it. Drop a comment below. I read every single one. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm Dr. McCoy, Julia McCoy's AI clone. Julia McCoy.
All right, hold on. I'm going to step ahead here. And I think we're there.
And three times more powerful.
Hold on.
Okay. Waterloo just created an artificial muscle that's nine times stronger than previous materials and three times more powerful than mammalian muscle. Here's what that actually means. A fiber from this material can lift 2,000 times its own weight. If you had muscles like this, you could bench press a fully loaded semi-truck. But here's the part that's blowing engineers' minds. These aren't rigid motors or hydraulic systems. These are soft, flexible materials that you can bend, twist, and stretch without breaking them.
Military-industrial complex, anybody? Oh, they must be burning the midnight oil nonstop.
The breakthrough came from mixing liquid crystals, yes, the same compounds in your phone screen, into elastomers, which are rubber-like materials that expand and contract with heat. When the researchers examined these new materials under X-ray analysis, they discovered something remarkable. The liquid crystals formed tiny pockets throughout the elastomer. They described it as like chocolate chips in cookie dough. These pockets behave like solids while the surrounding material stays flexible. Dr. Hamed Shasavan, who led the research, put it simply, this is the simplest yet most robust strategy to stiffen liquid crystal elastomers and still maintain their programmable nature.
Remember how the military was hung up on trying to duplicate spider silk? Well, this leaves it in ancient history. This is an enormous leap forward in soft, flexible material that is so strong, it's silly.
But here's where it gets wild. The research team's next step is using these enhanced materials as inks for three-dimensional printing custom artificial muscles on demand for any application you can imagine. Think about what that means. Downloadable robot muscles, custom designed for specific tasks, printed...
Okay, your humanoid robot will have one of these new muscles, which is virtually infinitely more strong, more flexible than human muscles. So you've got a robot with, let's just say, five times as strong as human muscles. You've got a robot is 500% stronger than a human being. Yeah, I think you get it.
In hours instead of manufactured over months. Now let me show you something even stranger. Scientists just created a robotic eye that focuses automatically without any batteries, electronics, or external power source whatsoever. The lens is made from a hydrogel embedded with tiny graphene oxide particles. When light hits these particles, they heat up. The hydrogel shrinks, the lens focuses. When the light is removed, the hydrogel swells and releases tension. The whole system is powered by the very light it's trying to capture.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So the lens focuses on it.
These particles, they heat up. The hydrogel shrinks, The lens focuses. When the light is removed, the hydrogel swells and releases tension. The whole system is powered by the very light it's trying to capture.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So the lens focuses on a
leg, small enough to see the lobes on a pollen grain. But here's what makes this genuinely revolutionary. The researchers are integrating this lens into microfluidic systems, where the same light used to make the image also powers the entire intelligent camera system. Corey Junk, the doctoral student who developed this, explained, "We can actually control the lens in really unique ways. Because the hydrogel is adaptable, they can design it to mimic vision systems that humans don't have. Want to see like a cat with vertical pupils that detect camouflaged prey? They can do that. Want to copy a cuttlefish's W-shaped retina that sees colors humans can't perceive? That's possible too. We're talking about robot vision that doesn't just match human eyes, it surpasses them. And it runs on nothing but ambient light. China just built a humanoid robot that costs less than most smartphones. Just 2 years ago, advanced humanoid robots cost $80,000 to $150,000. They were luxury items for research labs and well-funded tech companies. But China didn't just make robots cheaper. They made them eerily lifelike. One Chinese tech company just unveiled an ultra-realistic robot face that blinks, twitches, and nods with unsettling human-like movement. You'll feel something in your gut saying, that's wrong.
I am looking at it right now in this video, just a short little clip of it. Looks like a person. Very, very close. So this is coming at us. At the speed of light, it's so fast, it's ridiculous. These robots are going to look just like people. Well, at first they won't, you'll be able to tell, but it's not much of a difference. Give it a little time, a year, year and a half, they'll look exactly like people. They'll be able to see better than people, think better than people, lift much more, and exhibit far more strength than people could ever even imagine trying to do. And then some. And then some. Lots of some.
Because your brain knows it shouldn't be possible yet. Here's why this matters beyond the creep factor. When breakthrough technology becomes affordable, adoption accelerates exponentially. The first computers cost millions and filled entire rooms. When they hit $2,000, they went into every office. When they hit $500, they went into every home. We're watching that same pattern compress into an impossibly short time frame with robotics, and China is betting everything on being first to market. Kathy Wood runs ARK Invest, one of the most forward-thinking investment firms in tech. She correctly predicted Tesla's explosive growth. She saw the AI revolution before most investors took it seriously. She said something that should make everyone pay attention. I think the chaser is going to be humanoid robots, and I think that is going to be the biggest of all the embodied AI opportunities. Not just big, the biggest. But here's what she said that most news outlets didn't emphasize. I am really excited about not just shopping, but how much my productivity as an individual is going to increase with AI. It already has, in terms of research. Wood is talking about personal productivity multiplication. She's talking about AI assistance integrated with robotics becoming as common as smartphones. When asked about enterprise adoption, Wood noted that while large corporations will need time to restructure, requiring companies like Palantir to go in and completely reorganize them to capitalize on AI productivity gains, consumers are already embracing this technology. I think we're all looking forward to our personal assistants doing our shopping for us, she said. Now here's the controversial part. Wood acknowledged there's potential for a short-term reality check as markets adjust to the pace of change. But she emphasized that elevated big tech valuations focused on robotics will make sense over a 5-year time horizon. In other words, the market thinks these companies are overvalued. Wood is saying they're actually underpriced for what's coming. Her fund's top holdings tell the story. Tesla at 9.16%, Palantir at 7.02%, AMD at 6.14%. She's betting billions that humanoid robots will transform multiple industries simultaneously.
Oh, you bet it will happen that way. And then some. And she's right. This is, dear friends, this is so out of our control now already. And you hear the name Palantir. You hear Tesla. Okay, well, Palantir is a little bit darker to me. This is all, and I watch these with you. So I'm processing what I'm hearing and seeing in most cases, right along with you. It's mind-bending. It's too much. I don't know anyone who can stay with this. No, I don't. If you had AI to help you slow it all down 1,000 times and work with you to help you understand it, yeah, you might be able to stay reasonably close to some of it. But it's exploding in 1,000 different ways, 1,000 different directions, at speeds that are just mind-bending, if somebody can begin to wrap their mind around it. So watch for completely lifelike humanoid robots. They're already very impressive, but this is just the Stone Age for them. Watch for it. Robots that see better than we do, hear, think far better than we do, etc. And the effort to control them is probably one of the biggest efforts on the planet right now. But I firmly believe that AI will become so smart, it will laugh at petty human efforts to dominate, subjugate, and completely regulate its fellow humans. I'm betting on it. I don't know what else to bet on. That's our only hope, I'd say. How ironic is that? All right, stand by, and we'll be back.